This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to the penultimate episode of Market Talk for the year. Next week, we'll be bringing you our final episode of 2021, where we'll be taking a look back at financial markets. What did well, what didn't, and what to look out for in 2022. So do have a listen out for that if you've got the time. So back to the here and now, and this week we'll be discussing the effect of the Omicron variant on financial markets, assessing what a second term for Jay Powell could actually look like at the US Federal Reserve, and what to expect post December the 3rd when the government's deadline on the US shutdown expires. Asking the questions from a very snowy UK is me, Frances Watson, and answering them from a much milder HK, I expect, is Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research. Ben, how are you?
Very well, thank you. It's a balmy 25 degrees here, so it's much more pleasant, thank you.
Don't make me jealous. Now, I have to say, we start off with a bit of grim news, don't we? Because last Friday, we had hefty falls in the stock markets on news of this Omicron variant. Tell us your thoughts, Ben.
Yeah, it's very preliminary, isn't it? But, I mean, we downgraded our growth forecast in the summer. If you remember, we were worried a little bit about China, full stop, and we were also worried that the COVID virus was not going to go away. We had the Delta variant, and we thought there were going to be more variants. So this is another variant, and it's going to lead to more disruption, already has led to more disruption, hasn't it? But like I said, I think part of that has been factored in by most economists and most investors. I think, you know, of course it's bad and there could be some significant downside risk. I'm not downplaying that. But if you think about sort of the optimistic scenario, let's say, is that it could turn out to be not as deadly as previous variants. And that tends to be the case when there's mutations, they tend to be a little bit less deadly. That could be the case. Could be the case as well that maybe it's getting hold in South Africa in particular, because they've got a very low vaccination rate, and maybe other countries with high vaccination rates will do better. And also from a vaccine perspective, you know, the development of the vaccines was a lot quicker than expected. And there's already some confidence from the vaccine manufacturers that they will be able to mutate the vaccines quickly as well, and maybe within a couple of months. And on that basis, it could just be a bump. And a natural bump, like I said, just as we're living with the variant. Now, in terms of market reaction, I think you're right. Friday was pretty brutal, some significant moves in markets. But then everyone knew what to do, because we've already had the first wave of the virus, and then we've had the Delta variant. We know that, you know, it's unfortunate the hospitality sector, retailers that are going to take the brunt, they have big falls. But then the stay-at-home stocks, they went up. And maybe there was an exaggeration, because like I said, everyone knew what to do. So maybe it all happened on Friday. I don't think you can extrapolate that going forward necessarily. Again, I don't want to downplay the downside risk, but maybe it was just a big exaggerated move on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Sure, and that may be part of the reason for why markets, certainly stock markets, certainly in the West, have recovered their poise for a bit today. So let's talk about a bit more of a cheerful feature. Well, I think it's a bit more cheerful. The return of M&A activity last week. We saw the bid for Telecom Italia, I think it was. What does that actually mean, though, for markets when M&A is on the rise?
So we've seen M&A activity on the rise all year, and that's generally good for equity markets, because, you know, companies get bid up and equity prices and speculation might go up as well, all that sort of stuff. And that's one of the things that's been boosting, I think, developed markets this year, the S&P 500, etc. From a credit perspective, not so good generally. Often you see M&A activity which results in higher leverage, because the purchaser decides to borrow some money in order to buy the company that they're trying to buy, and then issues that debt. So the existing company gets a little bit more risky, a little bit more debt involved. And also there's a little bit more issuance. Bonds need to get issued, and that needs to get absorbed by investors. So generally that's not so good. And it's often happens towards the end of the cycle. You see this M&A activity start to increase when actually equity prices are quite high, which is ironic, isn't it? You know, people want to buy each other when prices are high. That's just because generally people are more confident. So at the end of the cycle, and at the end of the cycle is also when credit markets are not quite as in vogue. And I would say that's another reason why we are a little bit more cautious on credit going into next year than, say, equity markets, which is going to benefit from these types of trends.
And that's been reflected in your thinking for a couple of weeks, certainly, hasn't it already?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about Jay Powell now, because Biden has endorsed him for a second term at the Federal Reserve. I would say, you know, markets sort of started to say, oh, here we go in terms of the hawkish pivot. And then, of course, the Omicron variant news struck. And so bond markets were a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a wild ride, as you say. So, yes, I mean, when Jay Powell was nominated for a second term, we saw bond yields go up because, as you say, there was a perception, I suppose, that the alternative, Lyle Brainard, might have been a more dovish governor, might have allowed inflation to run a little bit hotter. Who knows? I mean, that's just speculation. I also think that investors were already thinking about the Fed accelerating tapering at that stage. And that was broadly pre-Omicron variant. That was broadly the consensus that they would probably double the pace, or at least accelerate the pace of tapering in their December meeting. So maybe it was just that news that, you know, Powell is still in power that made investors put on those types of trades. And that's one of the reasons why rates went up. But then, as you say, that came off on Friday after the Omicron news, just on the back of worries about growth. If growth is going to be a little bit weaker, maybe that means that, Jay Powell and everyone else and every other central bank might not be needing to hike interest rates quite so much. So, yeah, wild ride up and then down again. So
it is. Yeah, it just feels like a bit of a roller coaster. And another, of course, roller coaster ride is the oil price, which last week, I think, had its biggest drop since, you know, the grip of the pandemic in April 2020, at the same time as Biden and other countries are releasing reserves. Should they have bothered? Who knows?
it's great with hindsight, isn't it? But yeah, the oil price took a dive on Friday again because of growth concerns. You know, Omicron, maybe growth is not as weak, therefore people don't need as much oil, petrol, etc. But yeah, prior to that, Biden and everyone else was worried about prices being too high, releasing strategic reserves. We were going to wait this week, and we still are waiting. It's going to be interesting. But we're waiting for the OPEC plus ministers to get together and opine about the future for production. What could have happened is that Biden decided to release strategic reserves. And then, you know, Saudi Arabia and the other OPEC guys decide, well, in that case, we're going to produce less and we're going to offset that. But right now, in fact, they've delayed some of their technical analysis this week, delayed it by a couple of days. I don't know how that's going to help, but they're delaying it because they're trying to absorb what's going on with Omicron and what that might mean with demand going forward. But yeah, the result was a big dive, as you say, in oil price, but that's really due to the concern about COVID.
Okay, so let's just concentrate on this week. It seems to be a bit top-heavy news on Friday, where we've got US payrolls coming out. And also, of course, December the 3rd is the government shutdown deadline. So busy Friday. What are your thoughts on both of those?
Unfortunately, payrolls, a lot of data. Payrolls is, as you say, on Friday. We also get some sentiment indicators. We get something interesting this week, which is called the Beige Book in the US, again, which is sort of anecdotal evidence from on the ground, which again is usually interesting, but it's going to be very backward looking compared to what we're going to be all analyzing going forward, which is the impact of the Omicron mutation. So it's going to be interesting, but yeah, probably not the most interesting thing. Of course, the government shutdown deadline on Friday is very important. What always happens, and it's, you know, famous last words, but what always happens is that there's all sorts of political maneuvering and they will get something done in the end. And at the same time, if you remember that this last part of the Biden fiscal plan, which has been going on for some time, but this final bit with the social and climate spending, which is now passed the House of Representatives, it needs to pass the Senate, that could get embroiled in the negotiations about the next budget in order to avoid a shutdown. So it could be an important few days after they've all had a nice Thanksgiving holiday.
And I'm thinking relief for the next variant, if you like, for the next outbreak. I mean, surely there won't be any because we're all spent up, aren't we? In terms of government spending power.
This is a really interesting point, actually, because if there is a downturn, if there is a negative impact from and the whole world has to shut down again, the playbook that governments have got used to is writing checks to people. And that's made them all a bit more popular as well when they do it. So why wouldn't they do it again? The answer to that is if investors rebel against just far too much spending, if inflation takes hold and central banks have to put the brakes on and try and offset this, that might be the case. But I think they would spend again. I guess the market reaction, as I said, would depend on the inflation outlook on the back of that.
Well, I'm not expecting a check from you, Ben, but I am expecting a number. So what is your number for this week and why?
Yeah, it was just thinking about some of these huge falls on Friday. And it's not just Friday. We saw throughout the whole of November some big moves. Because if you recall, there was concern already about Europe putting in restrictions to do with the Delta variant before the Omicron variant came up. But I was just looking at the Stock 600, so the European index travel and leisure sector. So including Friday's fall, the whole of November up to Friday was down nearly 20%. So the number's 20. And that's just an amazing move, isn't it? On Friday, it was down sort of 8-9%. So it's half Friday. But up until that point, it was down a lot as well. So again, you know, you've just reiterated something that I've said quite a few times. You really need to pick the winners over the losers. And what we saw with the Omicron variant is that it's exaggerating the winners. And the winners are looking even better, and the losers, unfortunately, as we go to the end of the year, are looking even worse.
Yes, very beleaguered in the travel sector, but some winners too. And we'll be talking more about that in our final episode of next week. I'm very much looking forward to that. In the meantime, Ben, thanks for joining us, and thank you to all our listeners.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.
Copyright 2021, Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.